Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the NewChev Limited Full Year Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, there will be a Q&A session today. To ask a question, you will just need to press star one on your telephone keypad. And just please be advised that today's call is being recorded. But I'll now hand the conference over to your first speaker for today, Mr. Ben Dingle. Thank you, and please go ahead, Ben.
Thank you, Miles, and thanks, everybody, for your interest, and great to have you on the call today. So I've got Chantelle Pritchard with me today on the call. Chantelle's the CFO. As you would understand, we're not in the same location, so if you could just bear with us when we get to the Q&A time, and we'll work out who's best placed to answer the various questions. Look, we're going to refer a little bit to the investor presentation, which is up on the company website and also the ASX website. So if you want to follow, please feel free to do that. So the agenda for today's call is we're going to start, I'm going to talk to the key business strengths, then talk about the highlights for the year. Chantelle's going to focus in on the financial performance for the company, and then we'll have a discussion around outlook, noting that, like most others, we're not providing guidance for FY21. After we've talked about the outlook for the company, then we'll open up for questions. So I wanted to start by highlighting that we've had a very strong year in what has been a challenging macro environment. High level, we completed an IPO and became listed in early December. We recently completed a successful capital raising, and essentially we've doubled revenue and volumes in comparison to FY19. And I wanted to talk to the key factors that sit behind that success. And I'm on page 4 of the presentation. The first of those factors is that goat infant formula, as a subcategory of the wider infant formula category, is growing really quickly. It's growing about 5 times the speed of the wider infant formula category. And to be successful in infant formula today, you very much need to have a point of difference. You need to have something to say to your target consumers, and our focus is on China mum, and she typically is very well educated, she's savvy, and she's got a high level of category knowledge and understanding. And our key functional benefits, which talk to digestive properties and immunity properties, are backed up and proven by the science that we've done at RMIT University. For an Australian company, you need to be well established in your home market, which we are. With our marquee banner groups, Kim Warehouse in the pharmacy channel and Coles and grocery, and we're growing strongly in pharmacy and grocery as well. A key strength of the NewChev business is our capital light model. A key strength. we have a very high quality, we have an absolute focus on quality. We're an infant formula manufacturer. And to do that with in a capital light model, you need to have high internal capability to manage your supply chain and manufacturing partners, which we do. Our capital light model gives us very high quality product, gives us very reliable supply chain model, and that's been evidenced as we've seen we've had very minimal impacts of COVID-19 on our supply chain. It gives us a high degree of flexibility and agility, which means we can respond quickly to changes in market demand. Just talking about team, any business that's going to be successful has got a strong team, and we have a very capable and experienced people inside the business, both in the management team and in the board. And then in reference to my first point around the market opportunity, we're also growing very quickly. So I'll flick over to page 5 and talk to the key highlights. As I said earlier, volume growth and revenue growth essentially doubling, volume growth of 108% compared to FY19 and revenue growth of 98% compared to FY19, which is substantially in line with our prospectus forecast. And that growth came through all the key channels that we operate in, and really importantly is that our brand Ollie 6 is doing very well relative to our key competitors. That performance is underpinned by the very strong partnerships that we have in cross-border e-commerce and export channels, export / corporate dugout channels. And those channels feed that very strong demand we have from Chinese mums. Also, as I just talked about, we have a very reliable supply chain, and you know, that's been demonstrated by the performance through the pandemic. And what underpins that strong supply chain is the very long-standing relationships we have with our supply chain partners. I've talked about the IPO, but I just want to highlight there that it was oversubscribed, well oversubscribed, and that enabled us to upsize the offer, which was great. And as a result, we ended up with a very strong share register with broad institutional support. I know Chantel's going to talk about balance sheet, but I just want to make the point that today we're very well positioned in terms of our balance sheet. We've got a large degree of flexibility to pursue growth. Chantel, over to you for page 7.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. So despite the uncertainty and challenges in both, I guess, the Australian and global trading environment, NewChef has actually delivered an impressive financial performance in 2020, reflecting strong momentum in our business strategy. So in terms of key financial and operational metrics, and we're on slide 7 here, as Ben mentioned, volume and revenue grew an impressive 108% and 98% respectively from FY19 to FY20. And that growth was predominantly driven through our strategic sales and distribution partnerships in both the cross-border e-commerce and export or corporate Daigao channels. We have seen a consumer shift towards purchasing via traditional and e-commerce platforms in China, which supported strong growth in our Tmall flagship store. Sales were also strengthened by our exclusive distribution arrangement with our corporate Daigao partner in the export channel. In addition to this, growth was also delivered through continued momentum in Australian retail, with strong baseline sales in Coles and growth of Ollie 6 outperforming the goat infant formula category in the Australian pharmacy channel. And throughout the year, we gained listing of Ollie 6 in Chemist Warehouse, New Zealand, and added Ollie 6 Stage 4 to our range in Coles, which further strengthens and diversifies our portfolio. As a key financial metric, core gross margin remains healthy, with overall margin of 34% impacted by raw ingredient sales. Excluding that impact, margin would have been in line with the prospectus forecast. But importantly, average selling prices remained strong in the last two quarters and in fact has increased 5% on the first two quarters of the year, demonstrating the growing strength of the OLYSIX brand and the price that we can command. And price, together with good operational cost management, has supported the gross margin results in FY20. Marketing percent of revenue finished ahead of the full-year prospectus, which we've spoken about previously over the last quarter, mainly due to the full upfront expensing of distributor equity of $770K, which differed from the prospectus forecast where it was expensed over the agreement's multi-year term. In addition, we continue to invest in the OLYSIX brand to not only leverage growth opportunities, but also recognising the importance of building brand equity at our relatively early stages of business maturity. Given our cost base is relatively fixed, we expect to continue to benefit from operating leverage as the business grows, and therefore expect that the marketing percent of revenue will reduce over time. Our CapEx spend reflects the capital-light nature of our business, and we believe that is a key strength in conjunction with our robust and flexible balance sheet. We finished the year with $9.4 million net cash position with no debt, and that was further strengthened post-year end. So on the 29th of July, we announced a $15.2 million capital raise, which ensures that we're well funded to continue to deliver on our strategy of profitable growth and brand development, and also to benefit from inherent operating leverage in our capital light business model as we continue to scale. So if we move now onto slide 8, the chart here shows our operating model and also highlights the challenges in the current environment, as well as the strong performance we have delivered relative to peers. Despite the strong performance in 2020, our sales in the second half have been impacted by challenges relating mainly to COVID-19. We saw a spike in sales in the third quarter due to panic buying, and subsequently in the fourth quarter, demand across the Australian-based channel softened and the Daigou channel restricted. This was in part due to less international students in Australia and reduced flights to China. But encouragingly, we saw accelerated channel rebalancing and our sales momentum grew strongly in the traditional and e-commerce platforms in China. We do expect the impact of pantry filling or panic buying relating to COVID-19 to continue to unwind in quarter one of FY21 before moderating thereafter. We also had a disappointing performance from one of our cross-border distributors, which also impacted our quarter four performance. However, we have recently upgraded our cross-border distribution arrangement with a new strategic partner, which we believe is a significant upgrade, and that transition is actually planned over quarter one of FY21. Despite these challenges in the broader operating environment, pleasingly, OLYSIX has outperformed the goat infant formula category in the total Australian pharmacy channel, as well as the three key Alibaba online platforms, that being Tmall, Tmall Global and Taobao. This has resulted in key highlights being the leading Australian goat milk brand in Alibaba platforms and maintaining the number one Australian goat milk brand in the Australian pharmacy channel. We're also really proud of our secure and scalable supply chain, which has remained strong throughout COVID-19 with only really minor logistical challenges and no material impacts. This is a key business strength and enables us to continue to leverage leading raw goat ingredient suppliers and also Australian-based manufacturers to deliver those high-quality products. So, Ben, I might just hand back to you to talk about outlook.
Yeah, thanks, Chantelle. So I said at the start of the call, we're not providing guidance for FY21, but we are expecting material growth. And the key driver of that growth will come from cross-border. The growth will be moderated from the growth that we achieved through FY20. But as I said, it'll be we expect it to be material. So Chantal's talked about the upgraded distribution agreement that we have recently secured. We're really excited about that. We said at the time the capital raising that we expected to complete that agreement by the end of Q1, so it's great to get it done early. And we will provide more detail on that in the coming weeks, noting that right now we're in the early stages of transitioning from our existing arrangements. That's helped enhance the opportunity to continue to build the momentum of our Oly 6 brand on the key e-commerce platforms within China, which we're very excited about. And we expect, as Chantal already mentioned, to continue to benefit from improved operating leverage as we continue to scale the business. A couple of other call outs in terms of outlook. We're just recognizing that current situation is a little bit uncertain and volatile. The two key factors being uncertainty around economic impacts and also the global trade challenges. And a little bit of a call out that, you know, obviously at the moment we're restricted in terms of travel, and that is likely to have a bit of an impact on our ability to develop new business and new markets. It doesn't mean that we can't do that, it just means that we spend a lot more time on Zoom than we otherwise would. So at that point, I might open it up, Miles, to Q&A.
Certainly. So ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin that Q&A session. So once again, if you did wish to ask a question, you can just press star 1 on your telephone and then just wait for your name to be announced. We do have a question on the line from Anna Guan from Wilsons. Please ask your question, Anna.
Hi, guys. Thanks for sharing the insights on the results. So a couple of questions from me, if I can, given Ben just, finished talking about outlook. So if I can, stay on the outlook to start with. So you guys obviously called out a number of caution going into first half 21 in terms of top line trading conditions. So I'm wondering, how are you guys thinking about marketing spend or your marketing strategy overall in this a more volatile environment?
Yeah, thanks, Anna. Look, our call-outs were more at a macro level. So we clearly, on the basis of the results that we achieved in FY20, we're doing great. We're building brand momentum and we'll continue to invest in doing that. Specifically, most of our marketing investment tends to be in China because that's where our target consumers are. And, of course, those are the consumers that the cross-border channel of service and the export channel of servicing.
Yeah, okay. So is it fair to, assume you guys will continue to invest at a similar rate despite the macro or a more recessionary environment you're calling out?
Chantal might jump in with a comment, but yes, we do intend to keep investing in marketing, continuing the strong momentum we've achieved for the brand. We're getting really good traction in that regard, and that will sit alongside the new distributor agreement that we've talked about as well.
Yep. Okay, that's fair. And I guess we're sort of at the end of August now, so we're only 2 months away from Singles Day. What have you heard any early feedback from some of your channel partners? I guess especially your corporate IGO and platform partners. How are they positioning themselves going into Singles Day this year? Just given the dynamic this year has been quite different to prior years.
Well, I don't think total demand's gone anywhere. So what we've seen is a transition of, a shift of demand from corporate DIGO and the channels that corporate DIGO service across to the platforms, which had been going on for some time in any case. COVID has just sped that up. In terms of Singles Day, we actually, the feedback is that Singles Day will still be, enormously important, still the largest promotional period of the year, and we expect sales to be strong.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Perhaps last question on the outlook, just in terms of your view on the channel inventory at the moment. So obviously, in the result, you talked about unwinding of pantry filling in third quarter 20, and also some impact on the DIGO channel. How are you seeing the inventory level at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think the Chantel mentioned it, but we see Q1... a bit on the soft side, given that we can see some of that pantry filling still unwinding. But going forward, we see things looking really positive.
Yeah, if I could just add, Anna, I think whilst I only referenced the panic buying as it related to consumer, obviously the impact of both customer and channel inventory was also a contributing factor to Q4 of last year, and that's also going to be impacting sort of now. So when we talk about the unwinding, it's both of consumer and also channel.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. I guess it kind of links to my previous question. I suppose your platform partners will they would have started thinking about their potential targets for Singles Day this year, how they want to position themselves going into it. And I suppose with on the other side, your corporate DIGO, I'd imagine they would want to run a lower level going into Singles Day, just given the disruptions around COVID, particularly on the logistics front.
Look, we would envisage that there will be really strong sales through the platforms that we, and as you know, we sell directly through our own flagship store on Tmall and then service the other platforms through our distribution partner. And we've talked about the fact that we've just upgraded that agreement. So we see that growing really well. I guess we also, we work closely with corporate DIGO, and they've been pretty, they've been pretty flexible and moved in general pretty quickly to meet the challenges of that of the channel dynamic shifting. So, in general, that means that they've shifted their businesses closer to the consumer, and we still, corporate DIGO / export channel is still an important channel for us. And we still see that, going relatively well through the coming months.
Yeah, okay, that's helpful. All right, so if I can just ask a few quick questions on the results itself, so perhaps for most of them are for Chantel. The first one is on COGS in second half 20. Can you talk about some of the moving parts there, just given looking at the run rate as a percentage sales from first half 20 to second half 20? Looks looks like it has stepped up a little bit.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, just getting myself off mute there, Anna. So I guess our agreements, because of the long-term nature of them, we did see some of those prices come into effect sort of almost 12 months ago. And therefore, our price, COGS, and margin have held up in the back half. There was obviously some movement with regards to FX, but that was relatively minor back in the earlier part of the year, but actually looking quite strong and robust from a COGS point of view.
I guess it's the movement, if I understand it correctly, the movement primarily reflects underlying commodity movements. Is that fair?
From half one to half two?
Yeah.
Yeah. So actually, I think what you might be looking at, I'm not sure if you've got something you can specifically point me to, is the classification of what we would do on an annual basis with regards to some of the free goods that were actually initially in the first half down under selling and marketing costs, but from an annual perspective get reallocated to up into COGS, which is the correct sort of accounting piece. So that might be what you're seeing in terms of the movement half on half.
Right, okay. Okay, cool. Yeah, we can take that question offline.
Yes.
And then just one last one. It's relatively minor. It looks like there's a step up in other revenue from government grants. Is that sort of the runway we should be expecting going forward?
I'd like to say yes, but probably unfortunately no.
Yeah, okay.
That they do relate to both some of the stimulus packages, EMDG grants, and the good news is that the turnaround from a payment perspective was relatively quick from the ATO, but probably not looking to that level sort of going forward. Obviously, we continue to look for every opportunity that we have, but probably higher than expected and forecast as well.
Yeah, okay, that's really helpful. Thanks, guys.
Okay, once again, if you did wish to ask a question, it's just by pressing star one. But we do have another question in queue from James Ferrier from Wilsons. So please ask your question, James.
Hi, Ben and Chantel. Thanks for your time.
Hi, James.
First question is on that changeover in your distribution partner. You mentioned you were sort of early on in that transitionary phase now. Will that transition be complete in time for Singles Day, such that you can talk about the new partner having sort of driven or helped to drive the Singles Day event for you, or will the results of this Singles Day for you largely be a reflection on the work done with your previous distribution partner?
No, it'll be the new guys, James. Look, the reason we just prefer to come back to you, a little bit later, is that right now we're managing that transition between the two parties, and would rather it could be a bit sensitive, so commercially sensible just to come back and update you on who the new upgraded partner is at a later date, but. To your question, the new guys will be very much driving all the Singles Day activity on the platforms.
Yeah, okay. Oh, it's good to hear. We'll look forward to hearing more details on it but when that time comes. Second question is, obviously there's still very significant growth opportunity for you in China. But I know in your recent quarterly, you did talk a bit about Vietnam. Can you just elaborate a little bit more on what the opportunity is in that market, and other than size, of course, how that market differs to China?
So we We are running a trial in Vietnam at the moment to get a sense of the opportunity. So it's a little bit hard for us to sort of put our finger on what that is. And we're also running an exercise looking at other markets as well across, you know, I guess across the globe. And, you know, we, as a relatively small business, we need to stay pretty focused, but we also recognise the need, you know, to, I guess, expand our distribution and diversify away from a current focus on here in Australia and China, given that there's a lot of unmet demand in a lot of those other markets. So Vietnam is one of those, you know, and we've progressed the Vietnam opportunity, but it's really at a trial stage. But we're also looking at other jurisdictions as well.
Yeah, okay. Good to know. Maybe a question for Chantel. You mentioned in answering some of Andrew's questions earlier about COGS and gross margins. You mentioned FX. I'm just wondering to what extent, given the COVID environment, the movement of goods, the logistics, the freight exercise, whether it's from a cost or from a complexity perspective, yeah, how challenging that was through the period, and if in fact it did place an extra burden cost-wise on the P&L?
Yeah, actually not. Relatively minor, both in answer to both of those questions, both from a cost and also, I guess, the end outcome. Maybe the complexity was increased, but that was more internal and didn't reflect in either cost or what have you. The key thing that we saw from an impact perspective was an increase in air freight costs, both availability and obviously price, given the fact that there was not a lot of air movement. The good thing is that we don't freight a lot of stuff through air. The majority comes through shipment, both inbound and also outbound. So no real impact from a financial point of view, but more just working through logistics. With channel partners, customs, and what have you, to make sure that things sort of, you know, work smoothly.
Mm. Yeah. Okay. Oh, that's a good outcome then.
It is.
And given where we stand today with current FX rates, of course none of us are experts on where they're going in the future, but where they stand right now, and what contractual arrangements you have in place on your raw materials. What's your expectations for gross margins for the year ahead?
Yeah, so I guess you're absolutely right. I guess for anyone in terms of where rate's going to look, you know, from an FX point of view, so as anyone would be doing, we're also looking at both, you know, risk and also what, if anything, we might need to lock in there. But in answer to the second part of that question, we are looking for some slight improvement in terms of, you know, gross profit. And I think that it is minor, but it is important because every little bit counts, particularly as we look to scale through logistics as well.
Okay, great. That's helpful. Chantel, Ben, thanks for your time.
Yeah, no, you're welcome, Jones.
Okay, and maybe just one final reminder. If you did wish to ask a question or comment, you can just press *1 on your telephone now. Okay, we do have another question in line, just from the line of Kieran Bala from Bala Holdings. Please ask your question, Kieran.
Hi, guys. I must say congratulations in achieving a result very close to your prospectus, despite the current situation. Just a few questions for the market into China. The manufacturing facilities, are they being done through an SAMR approved facility? And if not, is there any risk that China would require that to be adhered to in the future?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Karen. So the facilities that we use here in Australia, they both have the necessary licenses that are required for China. The SAMR registration is kind of a different process that relates to the brand. And we currently don't have SAMR brand registration. We have an application that's pending, and we remain very confident of achieving that. We're unable to give you guidance around the timing of that today. And there's a few reasons why we're confident around that application, which I won't go into here, but needless to say, the facilities that we use, owned by our supply chain manufacturing partners, are all properly licensed for China. And then the second part of your question, I think, really was asking is do you think China will increase the compliance requirement for products sold or infant formula sold through cross-border? We don't know because we think that what they may do is they might require all products sold through cross-border to be manufactured in a CNCA licensed facility. But in our case, those facilities that we use have that license. So we're in good shape in that regard.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, any particular plans to move to a China label product as well for the Chinese market?
Yep. So the SAMR brand registration application that we've got pending, that is a China label product. So part of that application, you submit all the artwork, so on and so forth. So that will be Oli 6, but it'll be everything on the can will be Chinese.
Right. Okay. Thanks for that.
Just in addition to that, we have sold Oli 6 in China offline before under our Chinese label. We launched in late 2016 and operated in China for about 18 months. Before essentially we no longer had any stock, and we to resume those sales, we need that brand registration.
Okay. Yep. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
And we just have another follow-up question from Anna Guan from Wilsons. Please ask your question, Anna.
Hi, guys. Just a quick follow-up. So if I understand it correctly, the market is expecting an updated GB food guideline. If that's the case, is that going to impact the CNCA registration? Or is there a link between the two?
Do you mean SAMR brand registration?
No. Sorry, I was referring to... The Gore Biao, the GB guidelines. Is there a link between that and CNCA registration for the CBEC channel?
Not as we understand it, Anna. We think that the change in the GB standard will be for China spec.
Right, okay.
We don't think that it will extend to, well, essentially, in the cross-border channel, Fezzan's regulated product, which is what we're producing here in Australia, as our English label product is compliant for China cross border. So, we look, and I would say that the changing of the standards, all driven by guidance from the WHO, net positive to brand owners like ourselves, because essentially one of the key changes is that protein levels drop, and that means we do, that's going to help our gross profit.
Yeah, okay. That's great to know. Thanks, guys.
Okay, there are no further questions at this stage, so I might just hand back to yourself now, Ben, for any concluding remarks.
Yeah, look, thanks again for your attendance today. We're really excited to have brought you a great result for the year. We're excited about the future, and we're well placed to make the most of the opportunities in front of us. So, look forward to interacting with you on an ongoing basis. And those of you who are shareholders, thank you very much for your ongoing support.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's conference call. Again, thank you all for participating. You may now all disconnect.